Luke tells us that Jesus spent 40 days being led by the Spirit, fasting out in the wilderness alone, surrounded by a whole lot of rock. And during that whole time, he was being tempted by the devil. He was wrestling with who he was and what he was called to do. And the devil tried to tell him a story about who he was. You're the Son of God, right? Right? That means you can have everything you want. You can enjoy every physical pleasure. You're the Son of God, right? That means you are more important than anyone else. Everyone else is meant to serve you. You're the Son of God, right? That means nothing can harm you because it's really all about you. But Jesus tells a different story about himself. It's a story that is grounded in what God has told him. You are my beloved son. And it's a story that is interwoven with the whole story of Israel, with a story told in Scripture. It's a story interwoven with God's story. And so against everything that the devil is trying to persuade him should be his story, Jesus says, no. I am a human being who depends completely on God for everything. I depend on God for food. And I depend on God for the words that give me guidance, because I know I don't live by food alone. I owe everything to God. And my allegiance belongs to God first and foremost. And the gifts that God gives me, they're not just meant for myself. They're meant to be used to strengthen and help other people. They're not just for my own pleasure. I know that God loves me. I know that I am God's child. I don't need to test whether God will keep God's promises. I can trust God. And my job is to do what my Father commands. That's how I show that I am God's child. In our Old Testament lesson, we have another story about stories. Here in Deuteronomy, the people of Israel are at the end of their journey. They've been led in the wilderness for 40 years. Yeah, that's not a coincidence, the 40 days and 40 years in the wilderness. They've been led by God in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're at the end of that wilderness wandering, just as Jesus is at the end of his 40 days. And Moses is giving them his final sermon. The whole book of Deuteronomy, be grateful. I preach for shorter times than that. But his final sermon, he knows that here on the edge of the promised land, as they move in to the story ahead of them, that they will be tempted to tell themselves a different story from the one that God wants them to tell. They hear, as they move into the promised land, as they move away from that time of utter dependence on God, they will be tempted to say to themselves, we are self-made. We are a great nation, and the land and everything in it is ours by right. We have fought for it, and we have won it by our own strength. And so we have earned it. And and it belongs to us to use however we want. There isn't enough of this land to share with others. Our needs and our desires are more important than anyone else's, and we don't owe anyone anything. And so Moses reminds them, Moses commands them to tell a different story, to repeat it regularly, to live into it. And it is their true story. He commands them to tell this story to remind themselves who they really are. And it goes like this. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And then he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land. Tell this story, Moses reminds them. Tell this story. Remember that you were aliens. You were immigrants. You were oppressed. Remember. Remember that you have disobeyed God again and again, and yet God has forgiven you. God rescued you from Egypt and made you God's own people. When you couldn't find anything to eat on this long journey, God provided for you. When you were weak and afraid, God gave you strength and courage. God gave you all you needed to fulfill God's plan for you. Remember, tell this story again and again. Remember. And immediately after this passage, in the part we didn't read, God commands the Israelites to set aside one-tenth of everything they grow or raise and to give it to their neighbors who do not have the resources they need to survive. And who especially are they reminded to care for? Who especially is this one-tenth for? The widow, the orphan, and the immigrants. They are commanded to share these resources. It is not optional. It is an obligation. And it is a lived reminder that the land is not their own, that everything they have comes from God. They are commanded to give back some of what God has given them, and that becomes part of God's way of providing for other people besides the people of Israel. This is how they show that they are God's people, God's children. They live out the true story of God's love for them by sharing God's abundant life and goodness and love with each other. By not caving to the fear that there isn't enough or that they have to do it all themselves. So, my friends, what stories do others tell us about who we are? And what stories do we tell ourselves? Are they stories of our own greatness, of our rights, of what we have earned, of our needs, of our own importance? Are they stories that turn us into gods and that deny not only our human fallibility and dependence, but the human worth of other people? Do we believe the stories that we are being told right now that there are people who really aren't worth much? who don't have rights, who don't deserve to be safe, who don't deserve much at all. Or are the stories that others tell us and that we tell ourselves the stories of our worthlessness, of our failures, of our weaknesses and sinfulness and unimportance and uselessness? I know a lot of people who were told those stories by parents, by loved ones, by abusers. And those are the stories that many of the people who live on our streets hear again and again. Stories that say, no one could ever love me. Not really. I'm too unworthy. Some of us hear over and over again and come to believe stories that make us less than human, and that not only deny our identities as children of God, but deny God's love and God's power to use ordinary people to do great things. And both kinds of stories are lies. They are not the stories that God tells. There is another story. It is the story that God tells us through Scripture. It is the story of our faith, the story we share and that we act out every Sunday. One of the things that I love about our liturgy is that we tell the story of God's love for us over and over and over again, because we are a people made for story. And it's just way too easy to tell ourselves the wrong stories, to tell us the stories that shape us in the wrong ways. God's story shapes us for love. Here, in this service and at this table, we remind ourselves that God made us and that God loves us, that Jesus came to teach us who we are and how to live as God wants us to live. We eat at Jesus' table to help us remember that everything we have comes from God, and that Jesus gives us himself, his own body and blood. That beautiful act reminds us that we are part of him, and he is part of us. We take him into ourselves. And we remind ourselves here that, like Jesus, we are not only human beings, but children of God, named, loved, redeemed, called to use our freedom in love for God and for God's world. We tell the story of God's love for us again and again and again, so that it sinks into our bones, so that it becomes the story that defines us, the story we live by. You know, immediately after Jesus' temptation, Jesus begins his ministry. And that ministry is about living out the story that God has told him. You are my son, and I love you. He lives out the story that God tells Israel in Scripture. You are my people, and I love you. I have chosen you to show other people who I am, and that I love them too. You're called, God tells Israel, to be a holy people, to be a priestly nation, a kingdom of priests, to show the rest of the world who I am. God doesn't just call Jesus. God calls each one of us and says to each one of us, you are my beloved child. You are called to follow in Jesus' steps. You are called to share what you have with others so that they too can know my love for them. You are called to treat every human being with dignity and respect, because I love every one of them too. You are called to remember that everything you have comes from me, and that there is enough. There's enough of it all. Enough food, enough dignity, enough respect, enough love. There's enough for all of you, God tells us, because you are mine, and I will care for you. Trust that. Live into that. Macrina Wiedeker, in A Tree Full of Angels, reminds us that in this 40 days of Lent, we're called to feel our hungers and to be shaped by God's story. She says, most of us have to taste our need in a fierce sort of way before our hungers jar us into turning our lives over to God. In the divine arms, we become less demanding and more like the one who holds us. Then we experience new hungers. We hunger and thirst for justice, for goodness and holiness. We hunger for what is right. We hunger to be saints. Most of us are not nearly hungry enough for the things that really matter. That's why it's so good for us to feel a gnawing in our guts. This Lent, I invite you to experience God's hungers, to let yourself hunger for what God hungers for in this world, for love, for justice, for enough for all of us. Let's hunger for that this Lent. Amen.